The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your seat. Thank you. I'm so honored and humbled today to be able to stand behind this pulpit of a great man, great preacher. One of those times that I really treasure in my life is when I met your pastor. He's a great man of God. The first time I came to the United States, it was a global conference that I was invited to attend here in Texas. And to my dismay, that was not what I expected. Progressive music and everything that I saw, it was not, the one that had been taught to me. So I called up my wife after the conference. I'm going back after 2 weeks. While other preachers are so excited to come and stay here in America, I called up my wife and said, I'm going home. I'm lonely here. Just a lonely place for me, and my heart is drying up. But then I called up a friend that was able to come visit our church there in Manapla, and he said, you come. I'm here in Mississippi. So I told him, I do not know how. It's a big, huge place in America. So don't worry, I'm going to pick you up there in Dallas, Texas. So he drove, just to pick me up, and he was in a hurry because he told me, I have an evangelistic revival night for 1 week. So I asked him, is he good? You come and listen to him. I believe you will be revived if you're discouraged. And sure enough, God blessed the trip to Mississippi the first night I attended, and I heard the man. Praise God. I thought all the while that America is going in the wrong direction. That I thought all the while that America is what I have already witnessed during the global conference here in Texas, that America generally is really turning their back from the Lord and turning from this very Bible that the first American missionaries came to the Philippines have taught us. And so I was so revived that's what your pastor have told you, that I have, with no doubt in my heart, I told him, even your message, is needed in the Philippines. I did not imagine that there's still a message I can hear here in America like that. So I really wish that you can come to our country, to our small place like that. And, I'm going to introduce you to my pastor, senior pastor, where I graduated in Cebu City, where your pastor and Brother Bachman there and the rest of the pastors and maybe some of you were able to visit the What the Bible Says, the Bible Baptist Church, Cebu City. And so he came, and praise the Lord that started it all. Amen. Amen. And what a blessing to meet his family during that time, and now grown up and enlarging the family. Yes. And what a blessing their church that you are so loved by the Lord, so cared by the Lord. He is so concerned for your spiritual life and a church life like this to continue the ministry that God has given to you by giving you the right man. Amen. With the right heart and right vision, especially with that right focus for the souls of men. So thank you for sending, not being so selfish, still sending your pastor to go around the world to share the gospel, challenge thousands of people, and multiplying, the ministry that God have entrusted to him, multiplying your ministry here in Parkside Baptist Church. He is representing you. And, whenever he stands before thousands of young people and people all around the Philippines there, he has been a great, great challenge, hundreds upon hundreds of young people surrendering their lives, and now many of those are serving. They are serving in foreign lands. Many of those are in different Bible colleges being trained and prepared to serve the Lord full time. So thank you for backing up your pastor. Thank you for sending him and, not being so selfish, praying for him that God will continually use him in a greater way. And one of my greatest blessings down here on earth is to be able to have a friend like that. Amen. What a blessing to our family. What a blessing to our church. What a blessing to the many hundreds of pastors that eventually will multiply the ministry as the pastors revive, getting the vision from God. Amen. And what a challenge and what a great privilege. This is one of my purposes to come. I call up your pastor. Can I visit your church? Can I visit? In fact, we just met there in the National Youth Conference in Cebu. Every year we are together preaching. The same pulpit, Dr. Gisalba, during the youth conference. But this time I told Dr. Gisalba, please give my slot, because there were four of them coming from America to minister to the young people. So I missed this year. Since 1985, did I miss preaching to that youth conference, revival meeting with Dr. Gisalba, and the World Missions Conferences. But this time I really asked Dr. Gisalba, please give my time, my slot to our friends coming from America. They will be a great, great challenge. So wonderful, wonderful thing that God did all these years, because, you know, we have a man. We have a great man. He's just an ordinary man, but with a great message, great God, with a great purpose in life. That's why I consider him a great man and being a great friend to me and to my family and church. So, church, thank you for allowing me to come here. And I did not expect that appreciation gift. Thank you, Dr. Mike Wells. May God continue to use you greatly. I think this coming September, he's going to go back again to challenge hundreds of pastors back there in the central Philippines, in Manila. You know, if you can just imagine, there's no telling what God is doing in his life, in ministry, and through his life, multiplying what God has given him in his heart. Thank you, Barbara Bachman, for joining the ministry, and some friends and the children here. I'm so glad for this wonderful opportunity. I do not think I'm been contemplating what message I'm going to give you, because you have a great man preaching great messages here, you know. And so I just want to have this time maybe to challenge you and encourage you to do more and give what God is desiring from you and what you can give back to the Lord to the best you can. Amen. Shall we all stand up as we have our Bibles open? This time I'm so glad that my wife could come with me and travel with me in this trip as well. Let us open our Bibles, the book of Psalm 116 and verse number 12. I'm going to read the verses. Please follow me with your eyes. If you are in the place, say aloud, amen. Praise the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, truly, O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I commit myself to you, my heart to you, my thoughts to you. I commit my lips to you. I know there is that many times a language gap, but I trust you that you will just give me the utterance, that language that I need to communicate your word. This is not my normal preaching, because, Lord God, I'm not in my place, but you know my need today, that I'll be able to share the word of God to reach the hearts of your people, and, oh God, that they will just be encouraged. As you have been so faithful to us, you have given us your best. And Lord, nothing that we could complain about. You have supplied all our need, and you have given us great things in life. Help us to say, like the psalmist have said, what shall I give back to the Lord for all the blessings that he had showered upon us? Thank you for Dr. Michaels. Thank you for this church, oh God, backing up the man of God, because we know that many times it is in the leadership of the man you put in the local church, oh God, that the church growth and the church direction many times is depending upon. Thank you for the men behind him. Thank you for giving loyal, loving, supportive, prayerful people. Lord, I know that it is only when the man of God and the church being united in the right cause of God that the church will go forward. Thank you for the many blessings and many things that you already have shown to them. If they're going to continually trust you and put you first and your kingdom, that you are going to bless their lives, their homes, their families, and the ministry of this church. Thank you for allowing me, my wife, and my daughter to come and to see the great works that you are doing in them and through them. Continue to use them, O Father. Thank you for this wonderful privilege you have given me. Now, Lord, speak through me right now. In Jesus' name, I promise to give you back the glory and honor. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Again, in the same book, in the book of Psalm 66, we also find this verse. In verse number 19 of chapter 68, the book of Psalm, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Can you say to the Lord right now, Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you are giving me every day. And what can I give back to you for all these blessings? If I can remind you this afternoon about that salvation that he has given us as free gift from him. Amen? Can you imagine if you belong right now to other cults, other groups of religion that does not believe that that salvation is a gift coming from God? You to be working here. You're going to do everything you can to get yourself to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know that by faith, because of God's grace and because we trusted that substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have received that free gift of salvation. And there's nothing that we can compare about with that gift of salvation we receive from Jesus Christ. And you know, after that we are saved, God has given us his spirit. Now the Bible says, Paul said over and over again in his letter, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Is the temple of God. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, and you are no longer your own. For you have been bought with that precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit makes his dwelling in our body. So we have the Spirit of God that connects us to God. Amen? And many times, even when we pray and we do not know how to pray and we do not know what we are praying, the Holy Spirit is there helping us to connect to our God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of the Lord that gives us conviction. Without the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, we will never understand his word. We'll never know and comprehend God's will and purposes of God in our lives. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance in heaven. So God has given us salvation. God has given us spirit. And what about this scripture here? Amen. He had preserved this eternal word of God for us. Amen. I cannot imagine a father, you know, trying to raise a family, a godly family, for God without the Bible. I cannot imagine a young people trying to survive this wicked and cruel world with all the wickedness and sins around us without founding yourself in the foundation of the truth of God in the Bible. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will continue on. Thank God that he has given us these holy scriptures. So God has given us salvation. God has given us his spirit. God has given us his scripture, and then God has given you a shelter. When I speak of the shelter, I mean the local church. Amen. Not only that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, giving us that free salvation, but one day he said, while he is still on earth, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As long as we take and carry the work of God, as we take the marching order of the Lord to go into the world, for the salvation of people, as we seek the salvation of the lost, God will continue to protect, preserve, and direct the church. Amen? We can be sure of that. Even the gates of hell cannot and will not be able to destroy the local body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. And this is where you are sheltered. This is where you are protected. This is where you are being fed. This is where you are being equipped and prepared for spiritual warfare. This is where God can be glorified. You cannot operate yourself as a Christian outside the local church. Jesus said, I'll get glory in the local church. And a wonderful thing that not only that the church is the body of Jesus Christ, but it is he's also his bride. And he's coming one of these days. I am so excited, looking forward to that coming of our bridegroom to join at marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? Oh, the local church. The local church. We cannot build a strong family. We cannot build a strong Christian life without the local church. And God has put you into the local church with a purpose. You know, say, member of the local body of Jesus Christ, you have a function. I'm so glad that every one of you has taken that ministry. As the moment you have discovered your spiritual gift, you are exercising and doing for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. What is an example? So God has given you salvation. God has given us spirit. God has given us scripture. God has given us the shelter here in this wicked world, the local church. Then God has been giving us his supply every day. Amen? Can anybody here say the Lord, you know, has been lacking in supplying all our needs? Oh, God has been always sufficient, overflowing blessings upon blessings. He has given us every need that we have. I've heard one day that somebody said, oh, God have promised that he will supply all my need. But until now, the Lord has not supplied my need. And the pastor said, why? What is your need? He said, I've been praying that he will give me a toothbrush and a toothpaste, but until now, he did not give me that. And the pastor noticed that he has no teeth. So God is not supplying his need. He doesn't. If you have no teeth, you do not need a toothpaste and a toothbrush. But God had promised to supply all our need. He is a faithful God. He's the source of everything that we need. Nobody can complain. Amen? God has been supplying that one. And don't you know that God, in his faithfulness and in greatness to your life and concern to your life, he has given you a shepherd. He is our chief shepherd, but also God has given you a shepherd in the person of your pastor. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As you allow your pastor, as you do your responsibility, you know, being a member of the local church, to your pastor is more encouraged to do more for God. Amen? Every local church needs a shepherd, a human shepherd to lead them. God in his wisdom. And as a sheep, you need a shepherd. You cannot make it as a sheep without a shepherd. There are many wolves and wild enemies that will likely devour your soul if you are not careful. But God in his faithfulness has given you his man, a godly man, the right man, and with a heart for God and for you. So David said, what shall I render back unto the Lord for all these things that he has given me? You know, if you're going to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give you? The highest thing that I can dedicate and give you for all the things that you have given me, all this, all of my life, while I'm here on earth, you have been so faithful and great to me. What can I give back to you? In the book of Proverbs, God have answered that if you're going to ask what are those greatest things that you can give back to the Lord, then he said in Proverbs 23 and in verse number 26, he said, my son, more than anything else, the first one that we should give back to the Lord is that. He said, my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, we can quickly offer to God our head, our hand, our talents, our abilities, our time, our treasures, and many things in this life. But without our heart in it, it would become vain. Many people I've seen in my ministry, I'm now celebrating my 38 years in the ministry. I started out as a preacher I started my first work at the age of 20. I got saved at the age of 16. Then surrendered to the Lord, Bible college, to prepare myself. But, you know, so far, there is no regret. So far, I've been telling the Lord, Lord God, there is no reserve. Use me. Use me. If you still want to use me, I'm just, you know, want to be used by you. To the best I can, I'll give my life to you. But, of course, my heart to you. Because everything will become useless if there's no heart in it. You can offer your talents, but without your heart in it, you're going to hold back the talents. Amen? You might be a great giver and a big giver in the church, but without your heart in it that goes first before your offering, sometimes it will give you trouble. There are many people in the church that after they have given their offering to the Lord, they will murmur and complain. Why? I believe they have not given it heartily. So, most important thing, the first thing that God wants and He asks from us is that He wants to have our hearts. Son, give me thine heart. Because whoever controls the heart has the power to command. Have you realized that one? We must give Him our heart and let Him control our heart. Because in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is beautiful. The heart is beautiful in Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Do you have that in your King James Bible? Is that what the Bible says in King James? No, it's not beautiful. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can ever know it? I do not know my own heart. You do not know your own heart. That's why the Bible says it is foolish to trust your own heart. The fool have trusted in his heart. You do not trust your heart. You only trust the heart of the Lord. There are many young people who have ruined their lives and their future because they trusted their own hearts. Amen? You better trust the Lord's heart because our heart is wicked. It's wild in nature. God said, son, give me your heart. I want to control it. You cannot control your heart. It's wild. It's sinful. It's wicked. Desperately wicked. It's ugly. And in fact, the Bible says in the book of Mark 7, 21, 23, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, proceed adultery, proceed fornication. And we know what adultery is. Adultery is the sexual sin that married people are committing. You see? And God hates it. God condemns it. But sometimes people who have been hooked up to that, they said, wow, pastor, you know, I've been a victim of Satan. And sometimes Satan would complain and would protest. No, it's not my doing. I have nothing to do with that. You're supposed to be a Bible Christian. You must know your Bible. Your own Bible told you that adultery is coming from your own heart. It's not coming from me. So if you're not going to be careful of your heart, if you're not going to turn your heart over to the Lord, this will take us up. Amen? Your heart is full of covetousness, adultery, and fornication. Many young people have ruined, have started the wrong start, raising a family. Why? Without being married spiritually in the will of the Lord, in the time of God, and the purposes of God, not being founded solidly in the Word of God, they get married. And they have been committing fornication. And God said, it comes from the heart. Oh, this heart is wicked, full of covetousness, full of pride, full of, evil thoughts. That's why God said, son, turn over to me your heart. You want to be a growing Christian? You want to be a victorious Christian? You want to be a valuable Christian to me? I want to control your heart. Son, before you start it all, start anything for me and to serve me, turn over your heart first of all. And many times we cannot follow the will of God in our lives because first of all, we are not willing to open and to give our hearts to God. When we hold back our hearts to God, then the Holy Spirit has difficulty in reforming us, in transforming us, in letting us know even the will of the Lord in our lives. So he said, Lord God, what shall I render back unto you for all the blessings and all these great things you have done in my life? God said, son, give me your heart. Are you willing to give your heart? Because when you give your heart, it's not going to be difficult to love our God. The second thing that we can offer to the Lord is our love to him. God said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than all these things? Peter once, he said, yes, Lord. And God has to repeat it again the second time. Peter, lovest thou me more than these things, more than all these things? He said, yes, Lord. And sometimes we are like Peter. We do not think. We do not ponder. We do not understand what we are saying to the Lord. And sometimes God said, oh, stop saying I love you, love me. Through your mouth, show me. Show it through your deeds. Amen. Amen? Show it through your deeds. Many people have said to the Lord, I love you, Lord, but their hearts are far from him. So first, God said, give me your heart, because the moment I got your heart, it's not going to be hard for you to love me. Amen. You're going to love me. And God said in Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in verse number 1, especially to the parents, he said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which words? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I commanded thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. What are we going to teach to our children? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, the greatest education, excuse me, the greatest education, the first education that our children must receive from the parents is for the parents to be able to teach their children to love their God. Amen? Amen? I don't care, you know, all the issues. You've got all the decorations of education you can have in this world. But if you fail to love the Lord, your God, more than anything else in this world, that's nothing to God. You wasted your life. You wasted your opportunity. The greatest thing that you can do to God is to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your soul. Are you willing to give your heart to the Lord? If you have given your heart to the Lord, then it's not going to be hard for you to love him the way you ought to love God. Oh, God said, you'll love me more than all these things. But the Bible says in the book of Matthew, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There are even many Christians who failed in loving God. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, that there are more and more people loving the pleasures more than they love God. Some people, they love money more than they love God. And sometimes even the Christians themselves, who recognize that everything belongs to God. And many times they look up to God and they recognize that, Lord God, yes, I know I'm just a steward of all these things. You are the owner of all these things. I'm just a steward. And God said, you to be found faithful stewards for all the things God has entrusted to us, right? I do not own my life. I do not own my salvation. I do not own all these gifts of life. God owns me. I do not own my wife. I am a steward of my wife. I have to become a husband to my wife the way it should be. It's been planned in the Bible. I'm not I'm not the owner of my four children. I'm just there to teach them and guide them and to let them know the will of God. So there are people that said, you know, my eldest daughter now is 30 years old. She's beautiful. She's pretty. Isn't that, Pastor Mike? You saw my eldest daughter. She's pretty. She's educated. She's faithful. And sometimes there are many who ask permission. Pastor, can I court your daughter, Renzen? Yes, why not? Try to get her heart. I do not own her heart anymore. I have led her. I have trained her. Now I think she can make her own decision. It depends upon her and her God. Do you try? And until now, you know, there are not many so courageous men that have won her heart. And I'm so afraid that she got a strong disciple following her. Risha. But you know, I do not own my children. Some parents would enforce their own will and their own plan and purposes to their children. But you know, my responsibility and duty as parent is just to let my children know the will of God and encourage them whatsoever, don't be afraid to follow the will of God in your life, whatever it is, because I do not own you. I just want to stand before God someday and God saying to me, thou good and faithful steward of my kids, of my children. Amen? That's why we have to train our children in the way of the Lord, not in our way, but in the way of the Lord. I'm so glad with your pastor. It's so very, very evident how he had trained the children, his own children, and now they are all in the ministry. Amen? That's the way it is. So we ought to be loving the Lord and, you know, realizing, recognizing that we're only stewards of all these things. And sometimes some Christians would recognize that one, but in terms, during time of giving their treasures to the Lord, they complain and they hold back because they've been taken up. Their hearts have been eaten up with covetousness. They love money more than they love God. Don't you know that when you hold up your tithes, you do not return honestly, biblically, gratefully, humbly, cheerfully, giving your offering to the Lord? It is the love of money that is controlling you. If you love the Lord more than your money, then you are not going to hold back the tithes and the offerings. God said, honor the Lord with a substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, because everything belongs to God. Don't be ever hooked up and be a victim of becoming a money lover. We love the Lord more than we love money. Amen? So people sometimes cannot serve the Lord the way they should be serving the Lord because of this. They love pleasures more than they love God. They become lovers of money. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Demas cannot give his best and cannot be a good disciple and good helper to the man of God because he turned his back. And in fact, he went back to the world and left Paul in the service of the Lord. And Paul said, oh, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. The world is our enemy. Amen? We should not be living according to the dictates and systems of this world. We have this Bible as our guide. This is absolute. This is absolute. We cannot go wrong following the word of God. You know, right now in the Philippines, the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of Congress is really endorsing divorce in our country because he just left his original wife and he's having another wife. And now he wants to have a bill, a law, so that he can cover his own acts. As I've been telling our people, our lawmakers are not perfect. They are not the standard. Amen? I don't care if they are going to do and make constitutions and laws, but we would rather obey God rather than man. Amen? This is the one. This must be our guide in our conscience, guide of our action and decisions that we are making in this world. We should not be a part of the system of this world. Oh, we ought not to be lovers of praise of men. Some people cannot show up their excellent testimony for God because they are pleasers of men. They want to please men than pleasing God. Oh, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, the time has come that we are living in a very dangerous generation because men will be lovers of their own selves. And you may say, Pastor, no, I'm not part of that one. If you do not know how to make yourself a selfie, we are a generation that, you know, that we master selfie, that only shows what the Bible has said. Lovers of their own selves, selfie. You know, sometimes you're going to imagine some people are in many places and they are not supposed to take picture of themselves, but sometimes they're in the bathroom and, you know, take picture of themselves and let it out and put it in the web and look at me, you see. Selfish, very dangerous generation. When man starts to love their own selves, they will not care for other people. That's why we ought not to fall victim of this one, because if we are going to love ourselves, then we are not going to be concerned. We are not going to get involved in soul winning and mission. If we are going to enjoy the life that God has promised to give us. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is Satan. But I have come to give you life. And that it might be more, and that life will become more fruitful and abundant life. A happy, victorious, fruitful life. But we cannot have that kind of life if we're going to just love ourselves. You want to have joy in our lives? Still the same formula. It is always, joy is still J-O-Y. It means Jesus first, others, and then last yourself. You want to have joy in your Christian life? Then don't put first yourself. Don't be a lovers of your own selves. Oh, the church in Ephesus was accused by the Lord, losing their first love. Oh, we ought to love God more than anything else in this world. Give your heart to the Lord and love Him more than anything in this world. If you are saying, Lord, what can I give back to you for all the blessings? We are going to sleep tonight, not knowing what would happen tonight, what would happen tomorrow. Amen? But we know in our heart, we know in our mind that we are well secured in the hand of God. Whatever happens to us every day, we know we are going there, up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to have friends. What a blessing to have family. What a blessing to have a pastor that prays for us, that counsels us, that guides us, that leads us, that shows us the way of God. What a blessing to have a scripture. We have a blessing to talk to the Holy Spirit of the Lord. All these are blessings. So what do we say to the Lord? What can I give back to you, O God? God said, give me your heart, son. Love me more than anything else in this world. And you know what? If you're going to love me with all your heart, you are going to enjoy life. You are going to see me. You are going to enjoy what I'm doing and the things that I'm giving to you every day of your life. We ought to love God because it is His command. So let us learn and ask every day, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. It is a command. We ought to love God because of who He is. Do you know your God? Do you know Him personally in your life? Because the more you know Him and fellowship with Him, the more you're going to love Him. Because of who He is, because of what He has done for us, we ought to love Him because of what He is doing in us and through us. We ought to love Him because of what He will do for us, what is in store for us in the future, tomorrow and in the future, because He first have loved us. We ought to love Him because He first loved us. Amen? And we just do not say it always in our lips, but love must have a proof. Love must have a proof. If we really love God, God said in John 14:15, then let us keep his commandments. It means submission. Whenever we hear the word of God, sometimes it is against what we are thinking, against our desire, against our wish and will. But then if we love God, we will say, Lord God, nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey you. I will submit to you. If we are going to love God, then let us show it through our submission. And God said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Peter said, yes, Lord. God said, feed my lambs. That means service. Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Yes, Lord, feed my sheep. That means service. Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Yes, Lord, then feed my lambs. That is service. If you truly must show our love to God, we will show it through submission. Sometimes we resist God's word. Sometimes we refuse God's word. Sometimes there are people who reproach God's word. Sometimes there are people who rebelled against God's word. And that's what happened during the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah complained to God and said, Lord, this is what I've told you when you first called me. You've got the wrong person. I do not like to preach. Because the people that I'm going to minister to, hard faces and hard neck, they're not going to do your will. And sure enough, there was one time that Jeremiah said, Lord, this is enough. This is enough. This will be the last time I'm going to preach. And sometimes the pastors, you know, there are many pastors that they would look up to their pulpit before they go and preach. They would look up to their pulpit and say, wow, this could be my last time. This will be my last sermon. Then it's over. Sunday after Sunday, you know, I would include in my prayer some preachers. I would mention to the Lord, Lord God, there might be some friends, some preachers right now contemplating to quit. Please, Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful preachers of your word. We are needing more preachers to fill in our churches. We do not need more professionals. We do not need more politicians. We do not need more economists. Our world is in great need of preachers that will preach the word of God. So let us serve the Lord. Amen? Not all will become pastor. Not all will be called to become a missionary that will go in other places to start. Not all are called to become evangelists. But wherever you are, you have a service to fulfill. You can be an usher. You can be a bus captain. You can be a teacher of the word of God. You can occupy some place in God's service. If you really love the Lord, you will offer your heart to the Lord. Lord God, here's my life. I love you more than anything else. What can I do for you? Your being saved and being a member is not just for a decoration. You are there with a purpose. Amen. You have to do your function for the body of Jesus Christ to be edified and to do more and accomplish more in the ministry of the Lord. If you love the Lord, in the Bible says 97 of the book of Psalms and verse 10, those who love the Lord would hate evil. If you love God, then you ought to live a separated life. Amen. You can show and prove your love to God by your submission, by your service, by your separation. You cannot be a double standard Christian. You are one thing in the church and one thing in the world. You are one thing on Sunday and one thing on Monday to Saturday. Let us live a separated life. We have been called from sin to serve the Lord and to live a saintly life, a holy life, and make a difference in this wicked world. Wherever you are, wherever you are employed, there must be a difference that people can see in you. Jesus Christ can be seen in you, and they can hear the word of God. The people will not read many times our Bible, but they are reading you wherever you are, whenever you can. So let us live a separated life, that we are different, unique people of God with a unique mission to accomplish in this world. And if you really love God, we will also be involved in a sacrificial giving. Amen? Many times love can be proven by sacrifices. God so loved the world. And what was the proof of that love? He gave. He is one of his sons, his only begotten son. That was a sacrificial love. Many, many times you have been hearing that old saying, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And many of you can testify when you courted your wife. It is so funny. Whenever I can remember the past when I was courting my wife, in my second church, I was receiving a support from my mother church of 300 pesos a month. If you're going to convert it to your present rate of that peso dollar rate, it would be about $3. No, $3, $6, $6 a month. I've been renting a place where I can dwell, where I have a room to sleep, and at the same time, a space to gather about 20, 30 people as I started the pioneer work. So I am receiving 300, and I found this place, the very cheapest one in the city, for 600 pesos. That is $12. I received $6 a month, and I was paying my rent for $12. So that's already a negative $6. Then I courted my wife. And during the courtship, in fact, when we already asked the permission of her mother, she was asking me, what do you do? I am a preacher. What does the preacher do? He said, I'm preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. How do you live? I live by faith. What is that faith? So I tried to explain that one, So the mother-in-law said, because he was hard Catholic, she said, how much do you receive? How much is your salary by doing so, by being a preacher? I said, I don't have salary. I just receive just a small allowance. So what is that? How much is that? I told her, $6, she said. Just $6 a day? No, it's a month. She was wondering, how could I live? How could I survive? Where do you live? I said, I'm just renting a house. How much do you rent? I told her, $12. And she looked at her daughter, my wife now. Are you sure about this? Are you going to marry this man? When she was asking her daughter, daughter said, yes, yes, yes. In fact, my wife during that time was about to go to the States because all her classmates in nursing had already come to the States. And during that time, there was a good income. And the papers already, and I told her, I do not doubt in my heart. I believe God is giving you to me. I need a wife in the ministry. Amen. Now I'm proposing to you. Could you be my wife? Could you say yes to me? And God, because I pray for this, I'm sure, 100% sure, that God is giving you to me. What about you? Now you better make a choice. She said, well, I like you. I think no problem with that. Okay. Yeah, I want to be your wife, but she said, I want to go first to the States and maybe find a work there and save some money for the future, for our future. So I told her, now you better make a wise decision now. It's either me or America. Choose. I'm so glad that she made that decision wisely. Now she has 4 children. And I told her, the moment you marry me, you are going to stop working. You are not going to apply in any hospital here. You stay where I am, where I dwell, and be my personal nurse. And then if the Lord will give us 13 children, they will be your permanent patients. And God, by faith, she joined me in the ministry. Every day we just go out and win souls and do the work of the Lord. And all this time, the Lord has been so faithful in supplying all our needs. Amen. God is great. Amen. God is great. But sometimes there are sacrifices to make just so we can prove our love to God. Amen? Do you love God? There must be submission. You do not say, my will, Lord. No, my will. God said, my will. You'll be able to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life because you love God. Then the Bible says in Matthew 4:19, if you're going to love God, then show it by your soul winning. Amen. Be concerned about souls. Amen?
Amen?
You want to be wise? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But he that winneth souls is wise. Not the one that have graduated from an affluent college or university is wise. But he that winneth souls is wise. You may gain the whole world and all these things that the world can offer, but without one soul bringing to the Lord Jesus Christ faith, you will not be able to receive this commendation of the Lord being wise. He that winneth souls is wise. If you love the Lord, you too also love the souls he came to die for. So God said, son, you want to honor me? You want to recognize what I've did to you and you want to give back the best from you? Son, give me your heart. Give me your love. And then he said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. If you're going to give back to the Lord the best offering you can give him, after that he had done great things in your life, give him your heart, give him your love, then offer to him your body. Lord, this is not mine. This is your body. Amen?
Amen.
Didn't the Bible say, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price?
Yes.
I don't longer make decisions in my life. I will always say, Lord God, what do you want me to do? This is your life. This is your life. Every day, every time, every day, we wake up to the Lord. We look up, every time we wake up, we go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for another day. We do not control even the next beat of our heart. It's all coming from the Lord. Amen? So it's only very logical, very proper that we ought to also say, Lord God, make this body an instrument for righteousness. While I'm alive, while I have the effort, I have the strength, you can use me, please use me. If you're not going to serve the Lord, you might be serving your own self and your own interest. You might be serving the world. You might be serving even the devil if you're not going to offer this body to become his instruments. It's more likely that you are using this body, this possession, precious possession of God for other things. So if I were you, especially young people, you give your heart, you give your life to the Lord. Amen? That's why Ecclesiastes 12 said, remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm so glad that more and more God is raising our young people in our churches to give their talents, their energy, their whole life to the Lord. You can do more. You can do more in the service of God. So let us present our body. Let us give our body to the Lord and say, Lord, please allow me to have a part in the great thing you are doing through using this body of mine to be a living sacrifice, to be holy, and to be acceptable and pleasing to God. And lastly, if we are going to say with David tonight, Lord, after that you have given me and blessed me all these things, what can I give back to you? God said, give me your heart, give me your love, give me your bodies. And then the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. In Malachi chapter 1, God said there, if I am your father and you are my son, where is my honor? In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, God was contending. God was pouring out his grievance to his people. He was complaining. He said, you have been calling me your father and you are my son. But he said, where is mine honor? Where is mine honor? And sometimes you are not aware that God is after and he is desiring for his honor. And he answered that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 9. He said, honor the Lord with thy substance. See, if you are going to really are sincere of what we are saying, Lord, what can I give back to you that you can also be pleased and be honored in my life? Son, give me your love. Son, give me your heart. Son, give me your body. And then honor me. Give me the portion of the substance of the blessing that I'm giving to you. We cannot make it. We cannot survive without the blessings of God every day of our lives. Being physical body, still human in this world, we need some material things as well to survive. Amen? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. At the same time, man will not only live by the word of God, as long as we are here on earth, we need some substance as well. Right? Do we need those material substance in order for us to exist and to live? Yes, sure we do. That's why God has been equipping us with talents and skills and all these things that we can use to find, you know, the substance that we need in order for us to live and then serve the Lord. So God said that every blessing, every substance, every material things that God has given to us, we ought to also honor him with his portions. You are greatly blessed by God here. Amen. Amen? Can you imagine if you're going to migrate to the Philippines, if you're receiving $1,000 here, that can immediately be multiplied into a 50,000 pesos over there in the Philippines. Your money is 50 times mightier than our money. And it has been said, you know, some people told me, you know, when we say we are poor here in America, when we are poor here in America, the Filipinos no idea about what is poor. When an American person will say, I am poor in America, I don't have many things. When American will say, I am poor, they still have their cars. They have still their refrigerator being filled of stuff. But you can go to our country, and when people will say, I am poor, he is really poor. I mean, they can put their hands in their pocket and they cannot find anything in there. But they can only feel their legs because there's already a hole in their pocket. But God has been blessing you. Amen? I've been telling other preachers, if God will give you the opportunity, you come visit America and see how God being great to them, how God had blessed America. Amen? But the Bible says you are responsible for that. The more blessing you have, the more things you receive from the Lord, the more accountability you're going to have before God. Amen? Amen? So, God said you to be honoring him with your substance that he is receiving. Don't just presume on the blessings God is giving to you. Pastor Michaels have mentioned, and those of you that were able to come to our place, it is a third-class town. And we always lose people because there's no colleges there, no university in there. The moment our young people will reach the college age, and they can afford to pursue their college studies, they will go out of our place. They will go to big cities and continue their study. And the more, the big possibility is that when they are equipped with their courses, they will leave our island, and they will go to Manila, big cities, and find works, and we will completely lose them. So we keep on winning souls, starting from little children until they are young, like that. Replacing and just, you know, replacing the people that are going out. And there's no business opportunity. There are no jobs opportunity in our place. But the people that were there ever since I've been there, I stopped calculating their ability to give. And many times just look up to God, Lord, and say, Lord, this is your doing. This is your doing. There is no way that I can calculate the ability and, you know, the giving of our people. We are in partnership with 150 Filipinos going abroad. And I said, look at people and say, wow, Lord, since we were involved in mission ministry in Debor, there's not a man that we have promised our foreign missionaries and our local missionaries that we failed to send every month our support, though small. But I'm saying to our people, just be faithful. And they recognize how God had really been faithful in his promises. Amen. That when we seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. We have been operating our Bible school, Bible college, since 1995 by faith. We have given, our people have given their tithes, their offerings. They have honored him in their first fruits offering. They have given their sacrificial giving for the buying of our property and all these things to maintain our jeepneys like that, our vehicles, as we reach more people in other places. All this, before we dismiss, we would ask another special offering for the support of our Bible college, just so our Bible college that are there. You want free Bible college? You can go to Manapla. Free. You can stay there for free. You can be trained there for the ministry free. Not a single centavo. But our people have been so gracious, giving sacrificially Sunday after Sunday, so we can buy 2 sacks of rice or 3 sacks of rice and then some vegetables and fish to feed our college. And so far, out of that college, we were able to send out our own missionaries coming from our church. 33 of our college students have started their works in different places in the Philippines. And as I look at their ability to give, you know, there is no way. And sometimes I said, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. But because, you know, God is doing it through them, we were able to sustain this ministry that God has entrusted to us. Just teaching our people, honoring the Lord, honoring the Lord, honoring the Lord. Be faithful in your tithing. Amen? Yes. Honoring the Lord with his portion. Honoring the Lord in extra offerings that they can give. And God is replacing. God is able to replace and bless our people. Amen. I'm so glad our children have, you know, been trained that way. My daughter coming to the States, she surprised us. One day she said, Dad, I'm going to the States. I was accepted in the college. And we were surprised. And we told her, were you serious? Because she was just doing it through online. And then suddenly she said, I was accepted in the college. I want to go. And she said, there is no way I can support you there. That is dollar. You're just peso here. And she said, oh, but the Lord had opened the way. The Lord had opened the way. I will go. So whenever she was asked by the administration who is going to support her here in the States, she said, of course, my dad and my God. And when she was interviewed in the immigration U.S. embassy there, the same question was asked to her. And she said, my dad and my God will support me. So she was able to come to the States here all by faith. 1 year I've been helping her and exhausted everything that I have. After a year, I told her, come home. If you're not going to come home, I'm going to sell our house. Come home. I don't have any more money to give you as an allowance, support there. She said, Dad, I believe the Lord is still wants me to be here. So I told her, okay, your dad is done with you. You challenge your God. And sure enough, she graduated last Wednesday. Amen. By faith. Praise the Lord. God is great. When we honor Him with our substance, with all the blessings that God is giving to us, there is no impossible things that we cannot do. The work and the ministry of the Lord will just be enlarging. We can do more as God will give us the equipment. God, as we also return to his portion, has been my practice ever since many, many years ago. Every time I receive the blessing, you can come in my house. My people gave me a house. I did not imagine. We have been renting a small house for many, many years. And one day, our man said, Pastor, I think you need to have your own house now. It's not just a pastoral house, but your own house. So I thought, are you ready? Yeah, yes. We are going to build you a house. So there is a house right there, just beside our church building. And I'm so glad with our people. So glad with our people. And all these years, they have been there faithfully giving their tithes and their offerings. And we were just able to do all these things in the ministry because God has been replacing and also been blessing them in return. So whenever you can come to Manapla, see my house, almost of the things that we have in the house have been given to our by our people. And sometimes they would give us something, I would not use it. Now our people have learned that whenever they gave us something, they will also give me a cash to go with it. Because I told them, if you're going to give me our sala, our refrigerator like that, they give it all to us. But I told them, I will not use those things if I do not return the tithes of that. So sometimes somebody would give me a pair of shoes, I would have to look at the price of the shoes and say, wow, that's the price. I'm not going to use that shoes unless I will first give the portion of the Lord. Amen. Now, Dr. Mike Wells have fed us well, put us a wonderful hotel. Amen. I know what it is. I'm going to give the portion of the Lord of that blessing that he has given me. And God has been greatly blessing. The moment you honor the Lord with the substance, with all the blessings that you receive from him, God will also bless you. Now, as we close, the question, Lord, what shall I give back unto you for all the blessings that you are giving me? You have given me, you are giving me, and will give me more tomorrow and in the future while I'm here on the earth. I know you will continually give me all these blessings. What shall I give back to you? The answer is, son, give me your heart. Son, love me more than anything else in this world. Son, offer to me your body. I want to use your body. I don't have my physical body there. I want to use your eyes. I want to use your nose. I want to use your ears. I want to use your body for my service. And son, has been faithful to you in supplying all your need. I've been giving you material blessings. Can you honor me with my portions? Can you honor me with my tithe? Can you honor me with my first fruit? Can you honor me sacrificially? Can you honor me with the special offerings so that my ministry? I know and we know that God does not own, he doesn't need money. He owns all of those. But God said, return to me, I will pour out you all the blessings. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing. Do you believe that? Amen. What shall I render unto God for all the blessings he has given me? Please, as we go to the Lord in prayer in closing.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.